As Shishinovsky advanced, his men encountered the first Confederate resistance. In the field behind me was the 21st Georgia Infantry, commanded by Colonel J.T. Mercer. 21st Georgia, a very fine regiment of infantry, one of the best in Robert E. Lee's army, arguably, and the Georgians put up a brief fight. But the outcome of such an unequal contest was really a foregone conclusion, and after trading shots with the larger Federal force, Colonel Mercer pulled the 21st back to the blocker farm behind me. However, George Doles, an excellent combat officer whose men had just cleared Barlow's Knoll of enemy resistance, quickly saw the threat to his right and rear. And very deftly, Doles turned his brigade to meet the Federal onslaught. As his troops peeled into formation behind me, very quickly a battle line of Georgia regiments was squarely in the face of the Polish colonel's brigade. A firefight ensued between the two lines, and the crash of musketry echoed across these fields. Now, the Federals, for some reason, got the worst of this. Obviously, the marksmanship practiced by the Georgians was a very high order, but both sides inflicted heavy losses. As the fight raged across this field, one of the Federals, Captain Alfred Lee of the 82nd Ohio, stated that the fields were quickly covered with arms and equipment and the dead and the wounded. Captain Lee also stated that the lines were close enough that if he'd had the time to do it, he would have been able to read the battle honors on the Confederate battle flags. The two sides blazed away. For a moment, Shishinovsky's men held their own, but the tipping point for the Federals came when additional Confederate forces entered the fray. Fresh from their defeat of Barlow on the Knoll, John Gordon's Georgians had been pursuing the remnants of this fleeing Federal force, but now Gordon turned two of his regiments, the 31st and the 60th Georgia, turned them on to Shishinovsky's right flank. Those Georgians would have gone into position off to my left. They opened a murderous enfilade fire onto the flank of the 11th Corps men. The regiment that got the worst of it initially was the 26th Wisconsin on the right. Struck from fire in their flank and fire from their front, the Wisconsin regiment took a pounding from this rebel fire, and dozens of men went down in their ranks. The 26th Wisconsin had entered the fight at Gettysburg with approximately 440 men. Within minutes, over 200 of those men had been hit. The regimental commander, Colonel Hans Burbel, went down under this fire, and in just minutes, the Wisconsin men began to stream rearward with massive casualties. With the right end of the brigade collapsing, the next regiment to take the punishment was going to be the 119th New York, occupying very approximately this area. Now, the 119th New York would receive the same sort of punishing fire that the Confederates had minutes earlier directed against the Wisconsin men. And, just like their comrades from the Badger State, the men of the 119th suffered casualties from fire coming from their flank and front. Unable to hold their ground under this fire, and with many men littering the ground here, with the regimental commander, John Lockman, down as a casualty, and the regimental adjutant, an excellent athlete by the name of Theodore Dodge, down with a wound that would cost him a leg, the 119th also began to crumble under that fire. The right half of Shishinovsky's brigade had been effectively destroyed. The remnants were retreating southward as fast as they could go. This left only the left wing of the brigade, the 75th Pennsylvania and the 82nd Ohio, to try to hold the ground. Shishinovsky's men did their best, but this Confederate fire began to strike those regiments as well. Now, in the right side of the remaining line, the 75th Pennsylvania, this is Colonel Franz Mahler's regiment, Philadelphia Germans primarily, men who'd been raised back in the spring of 1861. The Germans tried to hold manfully to their job. They took heavy losses as a consequence, and over along the Carlisle Road behind me, the 82nd Ohio was losing men at a high rate as well. Their commanding officer, Colonel Robinson, went down. The 75th Pennsylvania would soon lose Colonel Mahler. With massive casualties, the rest of the brigade now began to flow backward in a retreat toward Gettysburg. In its brief firefight with the Confederates along this open ground, every regiment in the brigade would lose half its men or more. Every regimental commander along this line was struck by the Confederate fire. Colonel Krzyżanowski himself fell when his horse was struck by enemy fire. He himself was not injured, but it knocked the wind out of him momentarily. And as the Polish colonel looked around, all he could see were the dead and wounded bodies of his men and the survivors pulling back in retreat.